From the journal Science, a report that could reveal new information about the brain activity of people in vegetative states. In the magazine, British doctors report on their study of a young woman in a vegetative state. Her brain responded as an uninjured person's would. Neurologists prompted her to imagine herself playing tennis or moving through her house. And, according to their brain imaging scans, key parts of her brain lit up over and over again. Dr. Joseph Finns is chief of medical ethics at New York Weill Cornell Medical College, and he says the researchers were looking at pathways or circuits in the brain that process specific types of information.
As I'm speaking to you, for example, there's a circuit in your brain that is responding to my spoken word. And if I'm listening to you, the same circuit's going to go off in me because we're both conscious, we're both engaged in normal life. And what they saw for the tasks that they asked her to do in the study, they saw similar kinds of circuits that they would see in their normal controls who were not injured.
Does this introduce the possibility of being able to communicate with someone who is in a vegetative state?
I think it would be, indeed they were, communicating at some level because her brain was responding. What that signal means vis-a-vis consciousness or awareness or understanding is a whole nother level of speculation. But it does, I think, raise the possibility that there is perhaps an inner life to these patients, perhaps an evolving life towards more recovery. But at the same time, it does not mean that she's conscious. I think this is an element of consciousness. If she weren't doing this, she couldn't be conscious. But the fact that she is may mean that she could be. It's necessary but not sufficient.
An element of consciousness, but it does raise questions about the level of consciousness. At what state would you determine that she's actually conscious?
Absolutely. I think what we're seeing here is perhaps a patient who's in progression from the vegetative state to what has recently been described as the minimally conscious state, where patients do demonstrate by behavioral tasks evidence of awareness of self, others, or the environment. And in the follow-up data in the study, at 11 months, the patient is actually looking at a mirror that has her reflection, which suggests that she's responding now to a behavioral prompt.
What was your reaction when you first heard about this study?
Well, I think it falls in a lineage of a number of studies over the last few years that have been further refining disorders of consciousness. And I think what we're having here is a parsing of a broad category, the vegetative state, in a patient who had traumatic brain injury, that is, from an accident, versus anoxic brain injury from, say, oxygen deprivation like Terry Schiavo. And we're beginning to distinguish that these brain states, though patients may appear vegetative, they may be different internally. And in fact, this patient is showing a transition over time from 5 months to 11 months. And we have to remember that Terry Schiavo was some 15 years after her injury when the debate ensued for the final time.
As an ethicist, I want to ask you about the potential impact of this study in two arenas, one in the sort of public debate over end-of-life care and the other within the medical community.
I think as far as end-of-life care is concerned, it would be a shame if the polemical tone of the Schiavo debate got engaged here. I think this is really a scientific finding. It has to be replicated. And it's important that, these scientific findings become facts with which we debate our values and our choices. We shouldn't turn this into a values choice. And I think that, families, I would say, who have loved ones who are in the vegetative state might erroneously feel that their loved ones have the potential for similar activation. And I would just caution that this is a very narrow situation, a patient who was relatively recently injured at 5.5 months, who was showing progression, who had one type of injury, did not have anoxic brain injury, but had traumatic brain injury. And clinicians should not, adopt this paradigm for clinical use until it's vetted and proven to be accurate in large numbers of patients, because there is the risk of false positives.
Dr. Finns, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dr. Joseph Finns is the chief of medical ethics at New York Weill Cornell Medical College.